Hey, 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 a hearty welcome to you. You, my friends, are listening to Practical Living right here on your practical station, Adventist World Radio. I'm your host, Dumisani Fune. We will be together for the next 30 or so minutes, so I pray that you will be greatly, greatly blessed. Can you believe it? It's already Wednesday. We are halfway through the week. My goodness, how time flies. And you know, if we're not careful, if we don't learn to use our time well, man, it's like trying to hold water in your hands. It will just disappear. So I don't want to take up any more of your time. I've got so much prepared for you. And I just, you know what, just stay tuned. Guys, remember Mandla? Well, he's back. And, man, I really had a great time working with him. There's so much that I've learned. And I know beyond a doubt that you are going to benefit greatly. So that is Mandla. And then we're going to talk about our health. We're going to talk about heart attacks. Those things happen, and we need to learn what we can do to prevent heart attacks. And then we're going to have a nice, very engaging Bible study. All that today. But right now, let's hear from Mandla. Hello, guys, and welcome. I have a brand new series that I know you guys are going to love. I am with Pastor Mandla. Now, I know you haven't heard from him in a while. And you're probably wondering what happened to him. Well, he's back with a lot of information. Mandla, welcome.
Thank you.
What can we expect from you this time round?
This time, we will be talking marriage relationship between a husband and a wife. We will be focusing on the way we relate to one another, the way we deal with one another, the way we talk to one another. All of this is because many times in marriage, the bulk of our issues stem from the way we relate to one another. And other things that come up and end up being issues could have been solved purely by the way we deal with one another. So we'll spend a lot of time with that. And we're going to spring from the point of view of respect. I know this will appeal to a lot of the men, but there's a lot of stuff in there for the wives as well.
Respect.
Respect.
So from what you said, it seems a lot of the problems come from the way people view respect, and those problems could be avoided.
Also from what we expect from one another in relation to respect. As we talk about it, you will notice that what the husband expects when he thinks respect is different from what the wife expects when she thinks respect, even when she's talking about respecting the husband. And because of that, sometimes they have a clash of whether there was disrespect or whether the wife was innocently being just herself and the husband feels disrespected, or whether the wife was being deliberately disrespectful, and so on. So a lot of the things, conversations we have in marriage, will even move from the content of a conversation to how the other person spoke. You move from a fight about the car to the way you talk to me about the car. And if you're unable to resolve that, you will realize that the fight will never get back to the car. It will end with how you talk to me. And even when you pick it up next time, that's where it starts and it moves on.
Okay, so it seems like a lot of problems is how something was said, and then the real issue is shelved completely and people continue fighting.
That can happen. This is why it's important for us to deal with it, to talk about it, to explain to the wife where the husband comes from and to the husband where the wife comes from, because that understanding can help us deal with each other differently.
Okay. And then anything else we can expect in this new series?
We are going to deal with intimacy. Mm-hmm. Of course, we are not going to go into graphic details of how-tos. We'll talk about general things that can be very specific that affect intimacy in marriage. For example, in that I usually summarize it by saying the husbands expect promise and the wives expect a good atmosphere. Once we work on those two things, the intimacy flows. We'll get into details when we talk about it.
Part of
the conversation, we'll title that Promises and Atmospheres. Okay. So that you can understand that the atmosphere you create can do great wonders for your wife. And for the wife, just giving your husband a sense of promise in many, many ways can do wonders for your marriage as well.
I'm really getting eager, Manja, because, you know, from the two series we had last time, oh, man, it was amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And believe it or not, it did a lot for me and my wife. Even a lot of the information was stuff that maybe we should have done as we were dating, but it still shed a lot of light on so many issues. And now I'm really keen to really get into what we have in this new series, Together Forever.
Together Forever. We'll touch on in-laws. We'll touch on finances, because they're important for you as a couple. We'll touch on those things so that you can... Everyone has a different set of in-laws from the next person, but there are certain broad principles that when you see them implemented in your marriage, you can realize that in-laws can be a blessing. Even those who are refusing to be a blessing can be so managed that they don't become a pain. We'll deal with that.
Great. So, guys, this is just an overview. There's so much that we're going to talk about. And as usual, we'll appreciate your questions and your comments. But this new series is Together Forever. So next time, we'll go straight into our first topic. So make sure you don't miss it. What are we going to have in the first topic?
In the first topic, we'll talk about respect. Now, for those who may be expecting us to cover issues of communication, don't worry, that'll be dealt with. It's just as the angle is designed to be more practical than a broad term that is general that says communication. When we talk about respect, we'll get into the nitty-gritties of how husband and wife will relate to one another, and we'll take it from there.
All right, so guys, you don't want to miss. Next week, we're going to look at respect and how that affects the relationship. Until next time, I'm Dumisani Mfune.
And I'm Mandla Lupondwana.
If you're just joining us, that was Pastor Mandla Lupondwana. That was going to be a great series, so make sure you catch it every Wednesday right here on Practical Living. Still to come, though, is the Bible study. And the topic for this Bible study is the question of the existence of the devil. You're going to learn so much. Are there any particular topics that you want to hear? Write into us and we'll make sure we get them covered. Later on in the program, I'll give you the email and postal address that you can use to write in and give us the topics that you want discussed. But right now, coming up right now, let us focus on our health. So remember, you are listening to Practical Living right here on your practical station, Adventist World Radio.
Good day. I'm Irone, and you're listening to Practical Health. Today, I want to talk to you about heart attacks. The World Health Organization identifies the heart as the second leading cause of death in the world. Every year, almost 2.5 million people die of heart disease in countries both rich and poor. Today, I want to talk to you about heart disease and what you can do to protect yourself against damaging your heart. God has made our bodies marvelously efficient machines, and if we care for our bodies, they can serve us reliably our entire lives. bad habits, however, can seriously damage these wonderful machines. The specific disease I want to talk to you about today is the most common form of heart disease, a narrowing of the vessels that supply blood to the heart muscle. Even though there is a lot of blood inside the heart, the blood supply to the heart muscle itself comes through tiny blood vessels on the heart's outer surface. Now, I know this might seem a little complicated, but just stay with me. These vessels measure only 4 to 5 millimeters in diameter. That's about 2/10 of an inch. If they become narrowed, they can clot off. Then the heart muscle doesn't get the nutrition it needs to stay alive, and it dies, causing what we all know as a heart attack. Narrowing almost always occurs because cholesterol, a fatty material in the blood, collects in the walls of the vessel. It takes decades for these collections to create narrowing, so the process can go on for years with no symptoms at all. Once symptoms start, they are usually triggered by emotional stress or physical activity. There is usually severe pain in the chest that feels like heavy pressure or tightness that radiates down the left arm. Shortness of breath or extreme fatigue can occur, and the symptoms usually stop within minutes after the physical activity has stopped. The specific conditions that allow narrowing of the blood vessels are high cholesterol levels in the blood because of the fatty foods we eat, high blood pressure, diabetes, and of course smoking. All of these conditions cause damage to the inner lining of the blood vessel, and once that lining is damaged, cholesterol tends to collect at the site of injury. Excess weight, a lack of physical exercise, and unrelieved emotional stress tend to make the effects of the known causes more damaging. So now I know the question you're probably asking is, Iran, how can I avoid getting a heart attack? Well, the key to this is to lead a healthier lifestyle. The specific things you can do to help yourself include stopping smoking if you smoke, getting down to a normal weight if you are overweight, learning to reduce or to better manage your stress, staying physically active, getting your blood pressure under control, and eating healthier foods. The underlying problem here is related to cholesterol. What is the major source of cholesterol? It is meat and dairy products. A heart-healthy diet is low in cholesterol, so it is low in meat and dairy products. It is based on eating lots of fruits, vegetables, and whole grains because these contain no cholesterol and they are also low in sodium, so they help you control your blood pressure. If you must eat meat, eating one or two servings of fish a week is your best option. Fish contain an unsaturated fat called omega-3, which is thought to reduce inflammation throughout the body. Omega-3 is reported to lower the risk of sudden death if you have a heart attack. Some fish have high levels of this omega-3. Those fish are salmon, herring, and to a lesser extent, tuna. Medicines do not cure the underlying problem, but some medicines do help to delay a heart attack. They can help to keep our narrowed vessels open for longer. A low dose of aspirin, about 1/4 of a regular aspirin tablet, taken once a day, will reduce the tendency of blood to clot in a narrowed vessel. Aspirin is not appropriate in people who have a bleeding disorder or in people who are taking another blood thinner. So please ask your doctor before starting to take low dose aspirin. Nitroglycerin tablets, sprays, and patches relax the vessels leading to the heart, so they can help control the symptoms that narrowed blood vessels can cause. And finally, in people who have high blood pressure or high cholesterol, there are medications that lower blood pressure and lower cholesterol. I leave you with the thought that God created your body as a wonderful machine that needs to have proper maintenance to run as it should. It can become damaged by years of bad diet and lifestyle. But even if you have not been careful in the past, there is hope. You can lower your risk of having a heart attack by making changes in your lifestyle. Things like stopping smoking, getting down to normal weight, learning to reduce or to better manage your stress, staying physically active, getting your blood pressure under control, and eating healthier foods. Recent studies have been done in people with heart disease, looking at the effect of changes in lifestyle and diet. The numbers of heart attacks were shown to be reduced by more than one half, and the cholesterol collections in the vessels to the heart were significantly decreased in size in people who changed their lifestyle and diet as compared to people who did not change their lifestyle and diet. So, try to lead a healthier lifestyle starting today.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Practical Living right here on your practical station, Adventist World Radio. That was Erone, and she was talking about heart attacks and things that we can do to lower the risk. You know, guys, when you're healthy, you take your health for granted. But when you're sick, and I'm not talking about an upset, runny stomach or a headache. I'm talking about when you're sick and you're bedridden, then you realize the importance of health. So we don't have to get to that state to realize its importance. Let's strive to be healthy now. Let's change our lifestyle and adopt a healthier lifestyle so we can preserve the health that we have been blessed with. Coming up next is our Bible study. But like I said, if there's certain topics that you want covered, write into us and we'll make sure we get them covered. Our postal address is Adventist World Radio, P.O. Box 22, Somerset West, South Africa. Postal code 7129. Hit us up on Facebook. Look for Practical Living and leave your suggestions there. You can email us using awr@sidmedia.org. awr@sidmedia.org. But right now, today's topic, what we're going to study, make sure you have your Bibles handy or something to write with.
Some say the devil is a character from the movies and cartoons, with red skin, horns on his head, and a pitchfork in his hand. God's word tells us that he was an angel perfectly created with wonderful talent and great responsibility in the courts of heaven. But he became overambitious, and his ambition was his undoing. He's very real, and he has one great goal, to destroy our faith in God, our Creator and Savior, and thus to keep us out of heaven. Is there really a devil? God's word says God created a perfect, sinless world. Genesis 1 verse 31, God saw all that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And there was evening and there was morning, the sixth day.
God's word also says one of his angels, Lucifer, became ambitious and decided to rebel against God along with one third of the angels. He became Satan, the devil. Revelation 12 verse 7 says, and there was war in heaven, Michael and his angels waging war with the dragon and his angels waged war. Now Ezekiel 28 verse 12 to 16 further elaborates and says, son of man, take up a lamentation over the king of Tyre and say to him, thus says the Lord, you had the seal of protection, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. You were in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was your covering, the ruby, the topaz, and the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, and the jasper, the lapis lazuli, the turquoise, and the emerald, and the gold. The workmanship of your settings and sockets was in you. On the day that you were created, they were prepared. You were the anointed cherub who covers, and I placed you there. You were on the holy mountain of God. You walked in the midst of the stones of fire. You were blameless in your ways from the day you were created until unrighteousness was found in you. By the abundance of your trade, you were internally filled with violence, and you sinned. Therefore, I have cast you as profane from the mountain of God, and I have destroyed you, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. So, in other words, what Isaiah is trying to say in the 14th chapter, verse 12 to 14, is, how have you fallen from heaven, O star of the morning, son of the dawn? You have been cut down to the earth, you who have weakened the nations. But you said in your heart, I will ascend to heaven. I will raise my throne above the stars of God, and I will sit on the mount of assembly in the recesses of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High.
In God's word, we learn that Satan the serpent was told he would strike a blow against the Messiah, who would be the offspring of Adam and Eve. But Satan would ultimately lose the battle for supremacy and lose his life. In Genesis 3 verse 15, it says, "And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise you on the head, and you shall bruise him on the heel."
But all is not lost. God's word says the devil will soon be destroyed, never to trouble anyone again. Romans 16 verse 20 says, "The God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. The grace of our Lord Jesus be with you." Revelation 20 verse 7 to 9 also says, "When the 1,000 years are completed, Satan will be released from his prison and will come out to deceive the nations which are in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together for the war. The number of them is like the sand of the seashore. And they came up on the broad plain of the earth and surrounded the camp of the saints and the beloved city. And fire came down from heaven and devoured them."
Satan is a deceiver, according to God's word. Revelation 12 verse 9, "And the great dragon was thrown down, the serpent of old, who is called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was thrown down to the earth, and his angels were thrown down with him." Revelation 20:10, "And the devil who deceived them was thrown into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophets are also, and they will be tormented day and night forever and ever."
John 12 verse 31 says, "Now judgment is upon this world. Now the ruler of this world will be cast out." In other words, God's word is trying to say that Satan is the prince of this world.
God's word says he made his first appearance on earth when he tempted Adam and Eve into disobeying God's command. Genesis 3 verse 1, 4 and 5. "Now the serpent was more crafty than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, Indeed has God said, you shall not eat from any tree of the garden. The serpent said to the woman, You surely will not die, for God knows that in the day you eat from it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil."
Satan is the ruler in the realm of evil spirits. Ephesians 2 verse 2 says, "In which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience." What is this trying to say? This is trying to say that Satan's power in this world and in the spiritual realm is not absolute. He is a usurper, and the only power he has is what sinners give him. Ultimately, God is in charge of all creation, and he can limit Satan in any way he pleases.
Satan is the enemy and accuser of God's people. 1 Timothy 5 verse 14, "Therefore, I want younger widows to get married, bear children, keep house, and give the enemy no occasion for reproach." Revelation 12 verse 10, "Then I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, Now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come, for the accuser of our brethren has been thrown down, he who accuses them before our God day and night."
Yes, there is a devil out there. And yet the Bible says in Revelation 21 verse 4 that the former things will all pass away. There is hope at the end of the tunnel. Unfortunately, that is all we have for you today. Please stay tuned as we continue our Bible study next time.
All right. If you're just joining us, guys, that was Noxie and Anthony giving us a very, very eye-opening Bible study. And it's true. The devil is real. I mean, if he can make himself look fictional, then the better for him. So let us not be deceived. Now, sadly, guys, we have come to the end of our time together. It was great. But I will leave you the address one more time. I know I've got lots of questions from the Bible that I would love clarified, and I'm glad some of them are being clarified. If you have a question, feel free to write into us. Our postal address is Adventist World Radio, P.O. Box 22, Somerset West, South Africa, 7129. You can go to Facebook, look for Practical Living. You can leave your questions there. You can email us using awr@sidmedia.org. I still have those Bible studies I've been telling you about. So go ahead and write in to us, request for that, and I'll make sure you get a copy. It's amazing the truths and principles the Bible has that if we follow, they'll make an incredible, incredible difference in our lives, in the quality of our lives, in the quality of those around us. Sadly, guys, I need to go. But don't forget, right here on Practical Living, we give you practical tips and practical advice that if you follow, through God's help, will help to make you healthy, wealthy, and wise. Until next time, God bless.